You're now listening to Real Estate Journeys with Matthew Baltzell.
Me on the top, man, I won't stop me. Me on the top, man, I won't stop me. Me on the top, man, I won't stop me.
What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Matty B, a.k.a. Matthew Baltzell. Welcome back to Real Estate Journeys, the exclusive podcast for new real estate investors looking to grow their brand and their business. So, guys, I'm excited to throw a little bit of a curveball at you today, and we're going to throw a little integration. So, I know people are hearing about Bitcoin and blockchain and, you know, is this the future in finances? And it's a subject that I'm very passionate about and I like learning about. And today's guest is going to provide us with a lot of knowledge and kind of fuse that all in together there for us. So today's guest is Matthew Sullivan. Matthew is the founder of Quantum RE. Quantum RE is building the world's first membership-driven, vertically integrated real estate stock market that enables fractional interest in real estate investments to be bought and sold on the blockchain. In addition, Quantum RE is creating EQRE, the world's first cryptocurrency with true intrinsic value, a token backed by audited real estate assets. With that said, Matthew, welcome to the show.
Matthew, thank you. First of all, thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure. I'm just thinking, did I write that introduction? That sounds very familiar, actually. I mean, yes.
I pulled it from the internet. Hey.
Yes, it's there. It's in the, you know, it's there for the world to see.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. So can you give us a little bit of a background or introduce your company, Quantum RE? How did you guys come up with the concept? And then we'll go into blockchain and whatnot. Can you give us a little bit more of a background?
Of course. I mean, the most important thing to get across is this is not Bitcoin. It's not, you know, crazy cryptocurrency stuff. Mm-hmm. So with that said, what we're doing is we're solving one of the biggest problems in real estate in the US, and that's for homeowners who have loads of equity in their home but have very little cash because all of their wealth is locked up in the value or the equity of their home. So that was the problem that we really sought out and thought that's the thing that we really need to solve. How do we solve that problem? So if you can imagine you're a homeowner that's been paying your mortgage off like you're supposed to do for the last 20 years or so, you're in a, you know, a house where you could have hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of equity, but you don't have enough cash to pay for your kids' college fees or to do the things that you want to do because all of your wealth is locked up. The only way that you can solve that problem right now is you go to the bank and you say, look, you know, please, please, can I borrow some money? And the bank says, well, you know, how much money do you earn and what's your debt to income ratio and what's your credit score? And, you know, can I have a pint of blood, please? And all this sort of stuff. So for those people, and there are millions of people who either don't want to borrow more money or cannot borrow more money, they're in a position where they can't access the equity in their home unless they downsize and sell the home that they've been living in for the last, you know, 30 years. So we solved that problem with a mechanism or it's an investment structure called a home equity contract. And what that does is that allows the homeowner to sell us some of the equity in their home or some of the future value of their home. They can stay in their home. They maintain all the rights and privileges of ownership. And the best thing is it's not debt. So it's not a reverse mortgage. It's not a cash out refi. It's not a home equity line of credit. But we give them cash right now. And that creates a real estate asset for us. And that's something that we can then fractionalize and trade on the stock market or the exchange platform that you mentioned, which we're currently building.
So, if people can't refinance their home, this would be a good option for them. Is that correct?
Yeah. Just imagine there's 14.7 million homeowners in the United States where they have 50% or more equity, mm-hmm. and you know there are a a significant portion of those people are either unwilling or unable to borrow money. And many of those people don't qualify for reverse mortgages. So you have to be, you know, in a very particular qualification class to be able to get a reverse mortgage. So for those of you that are suffering from credit card debt or, you know, bills that you can't pay or any sort of debt, this is an ideal mechanism of using the equity in your home to pay off that credit card debt, which can be, you know, very expensive, because you're not replacing it with debt. What you're doing through the home equity contract is you're selling us a percentage of the future value of your home. And the way it works is when you sell your home, a percentage of the sales value goes to us. Mm-hmm. So we're effectively saying we're going to buy today a percentage of the value of your home. So when you sell it, a piece of that goes to us through the escrow process. But the great thing is you get to use that money today. Mm. And there's no interest, there's no monthly payments, because all you've done is you've sold us a percentage of the future value of your home. And you can stay in your home anywhere for, you know, anything up to 30 years, depending on the contract that you have with us.
Mm-hmm. So if you have, how much do you usually, is there a range that you would buy?
Yeah. So there's a maximum of, it's between 15 and 20% of the current value of your home. Uh-huh. So normally it's around 15%. So that's the most that we will release. And you have to have a minimum of 50% equity.
Okay.
So in other words, the combined lien to value, which is the debt that you have with the 15% that we release, mustn't be more than between 65 and 70%.
Okay. And do you, would the homeowner have to get this approved by the bank? Like, I'm thinking, like, if, let's say, hypothetically, turn in the economy and they default and they can't pay and the bank comes after the property and the bank's going to recoup their money, and then you're saying, oh, well, we have a contract, we have 15 to 20% of it. Would the bank just trump that and say, no, you don't? Can the bank do that?
Yeah. Well, we have a lien on title, but it's a subordinate lien. And that means that it always sits behind the debt.
Okay.
So that means the bank will have a first or a second position and we'll sit behind that. So because it's equity, then the bank will always have first, will always have the senior position. So in that situation, the bank will have the right to take enough equity to make sure that their position is resolved. And that's why for homeowners, we say you have to have a minimum of 50% equity. And what that does is that protects our position. So the house would have to go down by 30% or so for us to be in a position where we run the risk of losing money. Because remember, we have investors on the other side of that equation. On one side, we have homeowners who are selling us some of the potential value in their home, and that creates a real estate asset. And we then, on the other side, we have investors who are very interested in buying into this asset class, because where else can you buy some of the equity value of someone's home whilst they still live in it? Because they're the best steward of your asset.
Mm-hmm. Now, then, so Quantum RE is creating EQRE. So with the 15 to 20% that you're buying, you are putting that into fractional coins, correct? And then,
well, what we do, yeah, well, it's a long process. So we're creating a fund. Mm-hmm. And that fund invests in these equity interests in single family homes. Mm-hmm. And rather than issue normal shares, what our plan is to say, well, the shares that we're issuing, we're going to issue them as digital securities. Mm-hmm. So that means that rather than having the shares registered on a, with the company, you can theoretically, you can trade these shares on exchanges. Now, I say theoretically because there's a lot of infrastructure that needs to be built to enable these type of digital assets to trade. And it's not just us. It's, I'm sure you know.
Yeah. So the investors are getting the tokens. Is that correct?
So the investors will receive a token, but the token really is a digital share. And token really is just I think it's really falling out of favor as a means of describing, you know, what the investor gets. Because the investor doesn't get a token. What they're really getting is ownership in the fund. And the token is really just the technology. And that's one of the things that really I want to try and get across is a lot of this is about technology. And what's happened over the last 2 years or so is the technology has become center stage. Well, actually, it's the underlying asset and what the technology represents. That's what should be taking the spotlight. In the same way that when you send an email, you don't worry about HTTP or IMAP or POP3s or that doesn't become part of the conversation. You send an email. And the great thing is that email goes over the internet, and that's all you need to know. And so really, I think what we're beginning to see, thankfully, is more, you know, people beginning to understand that blockchain and tokenization and all of that stuff really needs to take a back seat. But what it does is it enables assets to trade and to move from owner to owner in a much more efficient way, because the blockchain is really just a very efficient mechanism of keeping track of who owns what in a way that is very difficult to break.
Mm. Yeah, I was reading like just about cryptocurrencies and evolution and like real estate and whatnot, and they're like, imagine a day where you through the blockchain and like verified contracts and whatnot, where you could purchase a house within a day and like everything's like verified. And it's like, I couldn't even imagine doing that. Like, could you imagine like going on a walkthrough from a property, you know, you have your whatever you want to call it, your cryptocurrency wallet or whatever have you, whatever it evolves into in the future. And, you know, you're just like, yeah, transfer the tokens, transfer whatever you want to call it, the shares. And then bada bing, bada boom, verified, everything's good. And then it's done. And it's, I think.
But the interesting thing there is, you see, the blockchain there is not, the payment dollars is a very useful way of paying for things. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of people would agree with that. So we don't have to try and fix that. I mean, obviously there's, you know, it's not so much the payment that's the issue. It's with home ownership, it's all of the stuff that needs to happen to transfer ownership from one person to another. Mm-hmm. You've got the title guys, you've got the escrow guys, you've got the insurance, you've got to figure out who owns this property. How do we make sure that everything that you have said about this property is true? And how do you bundle all of that out and then transfer that in one lump from the seller to the buyer? And normally to do that, you need title companies, escrow companies, realtors, attorneys, contracts, and all these different people do these different things. And what the blockchain does is it gives us the opportunity of putting all of those components on one database. So when you sell your home, it automatically transfers this bundle of rights from the seller to the buyer. And it doesn't really matter how you pay for that. You can pay by dollars or, you know, drinking vouchers. It doesn't really matter. But the important thing that matters is that the ownership has been properly transferred and recorded, and all of the rights and privileges move from the seller to the buyer. And the blockchain provides us with a technology that is robust and is very difficult to break. And because of that, it gives us the ability to have trust that when I buy this house, I'm actually buying something. When I see the title is registered as this, I can trust that that is the case. And so the tokenization element and the payment is really, that's the easiest piece to crack. You'll see that there's companies, particularly like Propi, for example, who are moving elements of that home ownership transfer onto a blockchain, which is really saying that we're no longer using paper and all of these individual third parties to gum up the works when we sell a house. If we can make technology take the burden of that, then that's what's going to get us closer to the dream of being able to buy a house in a day.
Are they considered your competition as well?
No, I mean, probably what we're doing is we're looking at the actual asset itself, and we're saying no one needs to sell anything. I mean, you stay in your home. You don't need to move out. We're not going to move into your spare bedroom. It's not a tenancy in common. But you've got this asset. How do we unlock the equity in your homes? And that's what we do. And what the other companies do is they say, when it comes to sell your house, let's see if over time, and it's going to take decades, but over time, we will be able to move all of those components of home ownership and home transfer onto a technology that we all trust. So they're not competitors. And in fact, if we were in a position where you can buy and sell a house in a day, just imagine what that would do to the housing market. You could trade fractions of houses. So I think that's where ultimately we will be, but it's a long way off.
What markets are you guys doing this in?
At the moment, we're starting in California. Our plan is to roll out across 20 states as soon as possible. And that within the next 12 months, we think we'll be able to operate within the next around 20 states. That's our objective in the next 12 months.
And then where just the whole state of California or San Francisco or?
So no, all over. So, you know, pretty much all over California, we have a number of different types of contracts for different geographies and different types of houses. So some people want to stay in their house for 30 years, so they have one type of contract. Some people really just want to find a short-term way of getting some capital so that they can improve their home so that they can sell it and get a higher price. They might have some short-term debt they want to get rid of. They may want to pay for their kids' college fees or some medical bills. So there's all sorts of different requirements from different people in different municipalities and different metros. So we have, it's not a case of one size fits all. There's an underwriting process that we go through, but our objective is to make this as available as possible to as many people as possible.
Mm. The future, right? The future. The future.
Yeah. No, it's here.
Yeah. I agree. So what if I'm playing devil's advocate, where's my risk? What's my downside?
Well, it's an investment. So, okay, there's two pieces, two sides of the equation. You've got the investor on one side and the homeowner on the other side.
Yep.
Now, from a homeowner's perspective, what they're doing is they're saying, I'm going to give you or sell you some of the future value of my home at a discount. Uh-huh. So that means that, let's give an example. I will sell you 16% of the value of my home when I sell it, but you're going to write me a check for 10%. So in other words, I'm selling it to you for less than it's actually worth if I sold the house today. Uh-huh. And I'm doing that because I don't want to sell the house. I don't want to move out. And I'm saying, if I get the value of the money today, then that's actually worth quite a bit to me. So I'm willing to sell it at a discount. So the loser in that situation is the homeowner, because what they're doing is they're taking something that's worth a certain amount of money, and they're selling it to us for less. Uh-huh. But the benefit to the homeowner is they get that cash today. They can spend it on whatever they want, and it's not debt. And they only pay us back when they eventually sell their home.
Okay.
Now, for the homeowner, the risk they run is if the house goes up through the roof, then they've obviously lost out because they could have sold it for more when they sell the home. But the benefit is they get the cash. From an investor's perspective, there's the risk that their investment, because they bought that interest, the risk to them is that the house goes down and down and down in value. So ultimately, it starts eating into the equity investment. So there's a risk of loss to the investor. But that's what makes the market. If you have risk on both sides, then that's what makes it a potential. That's what gives it the potential for increase.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, is it one fund? So I'm thinking, like, let's say you have five houses, or let's just say one house to start off with. So you have one house and you buy 15 to 20%. We'll just say you buy 20%. And how many shares or tokens would be given within that 20%? Is it 10,000? Is it divided up into percentages, or how many tokens or shares would be out of, let's say, 20%?
Well, the way that it works from a homeowner's perspective is we make it very easy for them, and we say, just don't worry about any of this cryptocurrency tokenization blockchain stuff. You know, here's a check for good old-fashioned American dollars. Do with what you wish. From a fund's perspective, you say to the investors, here are some shares. But they're shares in a digital format. So when the market eventually develops the infrastructure, it'll probably be a lot easier and cheaper for you to trade these shares. Mm-hmm. From a fund's perspective, each share represents an interest in all of the assets in the fund.
All the assets.
Because that is that you're buying a you're buying into a diversified pool mm-hmm. of all of these things. The secret sauce that we're developing that is different to everything else on Earth right now
yep.
is that our exchange platform will take each of these contracts that you have with a homeowner, will chop okay. them up into little pieces, and you can buy a fraction of the equity in someone's home. So you will be able to go to our exchange, and this is something that is, you know, we applied for a patent for it, and we're, you know, building it out, and we're going to be launching it sometime early next year, is you will be able, if everything goes according to plan, to go onto our exchange, look at a map with all of these individual houses where we have bought a piece of the equity, and you can zoom in and see pictures of the houses, and there'll be some information about where it is and what the historical pricing has been, and what we think the house price index is going to be in the future. And you can say, look, I've got $100. I want to put $50 into that house there and $50 into that house there. So you can buy a fraction, a tiny piece of that home equity contract. And that means from an investment perspective, you can build your own portfolio of equity interests in houses that you've picked. And then if you want to sell them, once you've built your portfolio, every month we'll tell you what we think the value of that contract is worth now. And you might decide to sell some of your portfolio. So you then go back to our marketplace, which we're building, and you say, I've got $100 worth of this house here and $500 worth of that house there. I want to put that up for sale. And you can decide what price you want to put them up for sale at. And then if a buyer comes along into the marketplace and says, you know, I've always wanted a piece of that house in Beverly Hills, I'll buy it off you. So we're creating this exchange, and that's the stock market idea, where we take these interests in people's equity that we've created with the home equity contract, and we use these very clever blockchain technologies that sits behind the scenes, but that enables us to slice and dice those home equity interests into fractions, and we enable people to buy and sell those on our exchange.
So the exchange is the exchange only going to have your token?
It's not going to have a token. What you're going to
or your shares or whatever?
Yes. Yeah, so what you're going to see is the actual houses themselves, and you can buy into the. But to answer your question, yes, it's something that we're in control of. So you will only be able to trade contracts initially that we've originated.
Okay. Now, what phase are you in right now currently? So you're looking to expand into the other 20 markets, and then where are you at as far as the exchange is concerned? Is that registered with the SEC? Is that still pending, or where is that?
Well, there's a lot of work that needs to be done on that from a regulatory perspective. So we're open for business for homeowners. So if you want to release some of the equity in your home, go to our website. You can fill in some brief details, and it's not just California. So we're open through partnerships. We can provide you with a solution in multiple states, and that's today. So we're open for business today. As far as the EQRE fund is concerned, we filed our offering with the SEC, and we're going to be going backwards and forwards over the next probably 6 to 9 months with them to actually get that in a shape that they're happy with. And as far as the exchange is concerned, again, there's a lot of regulatory work that still needs to be done, but we're fairly confident that we're doing something that is transformative, but it's not revolutionary. So what we're doing is we are working within existing regulatory frameworks, and we're using an asset class in an innovative way, but it's not something that should be terribly scary to regulators. So we think probably 9 to 12 months from today, we'll be open for business to be able to trade those assets. But there will be this cadence, this sequence of events with things happening all the time. But today, we are open for business to homeowners.
There you go. Now, flipping it on the other side, if an investor is wanting, so the home ownership side is open right now. If somebody wants to be on the opposite side, if they want to be an investor, is this open to sophisticated and accredited investors? Is it open for everybody? Who's it open for?
Well, at the moment, we are working with sources of capital that are institutional and accredited. Our plan, though, and our filing with the SEC is to open this up so that anyone, whether you're accredited or non-accredited, in the US and outside the US, you will be able to invest in that fund, which buys into the pool of assets. And that's, you know, we're probably 9 months away from today.
What offering type is that?
That's a Regulation A-plus offering.
A-plus offering. Okay, cool. Very cool. Well, this is fascinating information. I think everybody's going to be a little bit mind blown today. It's like, wow. Yeah, no, I think it's very interesting. And I think like you're saying, the future's here. And so as far as timeline's concerned, when would you, if you had a guess, would you say mass adoption would be for this?
Mass adoption, very big words.
We like to think big.
We do. And I think the biggest challenge that we've got to answer your question in a roundabout way is educating the homeowner about how they can safely tap into some of the equity without taking on more debt, because it's a new way of doing things. And even though this type of approach has been around for almost a decade now, and about $1 billion has been invested in this type of asset, it's still quite new to homeowners. You know, people don't realize this is available. So with that comes natural skepticism. So to get mass adoption, you've got to overcome technology challenges and regulatory challenges, but also homeowner education challenges. And I think that's the biggest one. So I think probably in the next, I'd say 3 to 5 years, we will see a significant increase in the adoption of home equity contracts as a way for homeowners to release equity in their homes. And once that nut has been cracked, then that will allow more and more of these contracts to be originated, and that will allow more and more capital to be put to work.
Mm. What's the best way to go about educating people?
Well, obviously, the clear answer is just to go to our website. but there are, thankfully, a number of competitors out there already, and they're doing a great job of educating the marketplace. But no, we've got a downloadable book on our website. There's, you know, I don't mean this to be a shameless plug, but
no, go ahead.
You know, we have a number of videos and you know, pieces that we've written to try and get people to understand what this is, because we're not the only guys doing this. So in other words, this is not exclusive to us, thankfully. But again, you know, check out fractional equity or shared equity or home equity contracts. All those types of you know, keywords will give you access to a fair amount of material on the web.
I love it. Well, Matthew, thank you very much for being on the show. I want to close out with the final three closing questions. First question we have for you is, what is your favorite book to regift?
I think a lot of these self-help books, actually.
That's okay.
to re-gift. But okay, re-gifting is a twin-edged sword. But you know, I think one of the coolest books I've ever read is Jonathan Livingston's Seagull. So I would very happily buy dozens of those books and re-gift them to all of my friends.
Nice. Second question: if you were to give a TEDx talk, what would it be on and why?
I think it would have to be something along the lines of Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, but with a twist.
Okay.
And I haven't figured out what that twist is.
That's a little cliffhanger. I was like, okay.
Yeah, Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance is one of the most fantastic books ever written. Sadly, not available for regifting. But you know, it has to be something, a twist on that, I think.
Mm. I actually started that book several years ago, and I never finished
there's
it.
There's the twist,
so.
You see. It's, you know,
There's the twist. All right, question number three. What is a pain point or weakness you face right now in your business?
The biggest challenge with what we're doing is we're trying to be innovative on so many different fronts. The good thing is we've got the timing right. So one of the biggest challenges is when you're innovating, are you too early or too late? I think we've got the timing absolutely right. The biggest pain point is that there is so much to do. There's a lot of education to be done. There's a lot of building to be done. It's very exciting, but it's there's just so much of it because the market is so large and we're doing something that is so valuable and useful to homeowners. Just trying to get it all done.
Mm, all right. And what's the best way to get a hold of you?
The website. I think we have all of the information and contact details is quantumre.com, which is quantumre.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Matthew, for being on the show. I'll make sure to include all the information in the show notes and appreciate you being a valuable guest. We'll catch you on the next go around.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Real Estate Journeys, guys. Your support is greatly appreciated, and if you found this content to be enjoyable, valuable, or entertaining in any way, please head on over to iTunes, subscribe, leave a comment, and a 5-star review. Peace!